We're going to turn to our scripture reading this morning. It's found in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, the very last chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. We just want to read the first 8 verses of this chapter. Matthew 28, verse number 1. There the Word of God says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word." Amen. We trust that God will speak to us through his word this morning. We're going to turn to the hymn number 100. Hymn 100, we're going to substitute in another verse, another chorus. Hymn number 100, O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head, our load was laid on thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead, didst bear all ill for me. And we'll stand while we sing this wonderful hymn together. Christ is in.
Take the bread by thy
Let's come before the face of God in prayer. Let's ask for his help once again. Turn again to Matthew 28. That's where we want to focus in our attention today. There's no points for guessing where we're going to today on Resurrection Sunday. We're going to the scene of the empty tomb. And we pray that God will bless us. We pray that God will speak to us through his word. Let's bow in prayer. Our eternal Father, our Saviour, our God, our King, Lord, we come in your holy presence and we thank you for the reason that gathers us together here today. The fact that we are saved. The fact that we love thee. The fact that, Lord, there was a Saviour that came to this world to die for our sins. We thank you that we are united to him. And we thank you for the wonderful truth that today he lives. He lives today and he lives to ever make intercession for his people. And Lord, therefore, as we come to thee in prayer, we would ask, Lord, speak to us through your word. Give us a word from on high. Give us a word that would stick with us throughout the rest of this week. Lord, may it be an encouragement to those who need to be encouraged. Lord, uplift those who are down in the mire. Lord, I pray, show them Christ today. And may their souls be thrilled. May their heart rejoice as we come to consider the one who lives today for us. Lord, I pray, speak to us through your word. Give the Holy Ghost an understanding what it means. Lord, give the Holy Ghost in applying it to our lives. And may the word of God be effectual to each and every one of us today. We ask these things in Christ's worthy and precious name. Amen. Amen. Vladimir Lenin is considered to this day one of the most respected and one of the greatest Soviet Union leaders that Russia has ever seen. Now, he was an evil and a wicked man, and he was the first dictator that the Soviet Union ever had, and he died in 1924. His body is to this day on public display. Now, you might be thinking, well, that would be a rough skeleton to go and see. And you would be right, there's not really much left of him to this day. He's mostly wax now. With chemicals, they try to repair parts of the body that have fallen off and fallen apart. But many years ago, Dr. Adrian Rogers, he went with his wife, Joyce, and they went to Russia and they went to see Lenin's tomb. They were given very strict instructions that they were not to speak as they went through this place. As they went through Lenin's tomb, they were not to say a single word. Now, I must sympathise with the late Dr. Adrian Rogers because I have a fiancée who loves to talk. And I have a fiancée who's very good at talking. She does all the talking for both of us. And he said of his wife, Joyce, he said that normally she follows all kinds of rules. But she came to every guard and she said, "My Jesus is alive. My Jesus is alive." Every guard that she saw, she told them, "My Jesus is alive." And not one of the guards made a remark back to her. She knew that her Saviour was not in a tomb, that her Saviour was not implanted in a tomb and stayed there until the resurrection day, but that he was risen. Proverbs 25, verse 25 tells us, "As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." And today we have exciting news. We all know what that news is. It is today that Christ is not dead. He is alive forevermore. He is no longer lying in a grave. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. The tomb that he occupied here on this earth, today it's empty. Today it stands as a reminder that he is in heaven, alive for us. And that is exciting news. That is the exciting news that we have to share with you today. It is news that should cause rejoicing to those that are in Christ. Because as he lives, we shall also live. Somewhere along life's road, we have experienced, perhaps, if you're saved in here this morning, if you're a believer, you've experienced the new birth. You've had that encounter with the risen Saviour. And that news that gives us hope today, the hope of his resurrection, it should fill our hearts with joy. It should fill our hearts with rejoicing because our Saviour lives. I would like to take you back then to Jerusalem here in Matthew 28. Because we see here that Matthew 28 records to us what happened on that Sunday morning. We would like to hear what the angel has to say to us today. The ladies, they came to the tomb. They wished to anoint the body of Christ with spices and with oils. They will long to do more unto him as he was now in the grave. These were women who had trusted the Lord. These were women who had followed him, who had supported him, who had been faithful to him right up to the very moment that he was crucified. These women, they showed such great love and devotion for the Lord. And we praise the Lord for women who love the Lord. We praise the Lord for mothers who teach their children about the Lord. And they came here this morning expecting to find a tomb that they might anoint the body of Christ with these spices and with these oils. But to their shock, to their surprise, they found the Roman soldiers lying on the ground. In verse number 4, it says there that for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Rather than finding the body of Jesus Christ, they heard news that energized them, that encouraged their hearts, and that was a thrill to their being. They heard news that shook the earth to its very foundations, because we knew that there was an earthquake, and it still reverberates down to this day. And as that little band of women approached the tomb, they saw the stone rolled away. They saw the fact that it was empty. And the angel did not roll the stone away so that Christ could escape out of the tomb. The angel rolled away the stone so that they could go in and see that the tomb was empty. And that gleaming angel, whose countenance was like lightning, whose clothes were as white as snow, he brought them a wonderful message. And that's the message that I want to leave with you this morning. It is good news from a heavenly source. Good news from a heavenly source. And first of all, we see the comfort of this good news. Because in verse number 6, we see that the angel tells them, "He is not here, for he is risen." What wonderful comfort that brings to us, that our Saviour is risen. It gives us comfort to be calm. Because having already experienced the events of the previous days, these women, I'm sure, were in shock at what had happened. Their Saviour, their Messiah, was brought before the courts. He was crucified. He was killed. He was executed. And then he was buried. They had left all to follow this Jesus. And now he was in the tomb. Their hearts, I'm sure, were heavy, were troubled. But yet, they became even more troubled at the sights then that they saw as they came to the tomb. They approached them that morning, but the angel brought words to them of comfort. What do we see that the angel told them in verse number 5? Two simple words. Fear not. Fear not. They had no need to be afraid, for what they were about to hear would be of great significance and would be of great comfort to their souls. Why was that such a great comfort? Why was that such a great blessing for them to hear those words, "Fear not"? Well, it's because in John 11, verse 25 and 26, we read there that Christ, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were yet dead, yet he shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall not die." We can experience calm. We can experience peace. We can experience rest in this life. In all of life's situations, in all of life's trials, in all of its circumstances, we can find peace and we can find calm because Jesus Christ is risen. Why? Because the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, it proves that God is sovereign over all. Not even death could hold the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing outside of our God's control. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And here Paul reminds us of the wonderful hope that we have in Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And there, close to the end of the chapter, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54, we read here the words of the apostle. "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." the resurrection from the dead, it proves that Christ is the victor. He is the one who has purchased victory for us as his children as well. And it gives us great courage. And in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of whatever trial we may be facing, we can know peace today because the Lord tells us to have peace. Philippians 4 verse 7, the peace of God which passeth all understandings shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And this comfort that the good news brings does not only tell us to be calm, but it also tells us to be courageous, because our Christ is the one who is victorious. Death is no longer our enemy. We read there in 1 Corinthians 15 how death no longer has its sting. The sting of sin is death. The sting has now been taken out. Christ has conquered death on our behalf. For the believer now, death is not a worry. It is a way that we pass into eternal life through Christ. It should give us courage that he lives, and therefore he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And as Hebrews 7:25 reminds us, there at the right hand of God the Father, he is ever living to make intercession for us. He is praying for us as his people. It gives us courage as well, and gives us comfort to be confident. Because the command here, it is to fear not. It is to fear not. Why? Because the Lord's promises are true. The Lord's promises are real. The Lord's promises that he has promised to us will be accomplished. Every promise that he has ever made, he can and he will keep. He has promised that he will meet all of our needs in Philippians 4 verse 19. He will promise to do that, and he will do that. He has promised that he will provide us a home in heaven. In John 14 verses 1 through 3, he tells us there that he goes to prepare a place for us. That's where Christ has went now, in his resurrection. He has promised that he will walk with us every step of the way. He is the one who has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, it has promised us a lively hope. Because 1 Peter verses 1, or chapter 1 verses 3 through to 4 tells us that our lively hope is because he lives. The resurrection. And therefore that's the comfort of this good news. But there is, secondly, the challenge of this good news. Because we see that there is a challenge here to examine the angel. What does the angel tell them? He says, come and see the place where the Lord lay. Come into the tomb. Come in and see how Christ is not here. It's an invitation to examine the claim that Christ is risen, as he said he would. It's very interesting to note, later on in this chapter, in chapter 28... we see that the chief priests and the rulers, they made no attempt to try and find the body of Christ. They just wanted to pay off the soldiers. They just wanted to pay off these men so that they could hush them down, so that they wouldn't tell that Christ had risen from the dead. They knew in their hearts that the Lord had risen. They made no attempt to try and find the body of Jesus. They did not want to come and realize that fact. And a man by the name of Lee Strobel recently, a number of years ago, set out to disprove Christianity. He was a reporter that wanted to find evidence against Christ. He wanted to see that Christ was maybe just a mere man, that perhaps he never even existed at all, that for sure he definitely wasn't the Messiah. And where did he start his attack? He started it at the resurrection. If he could disprove the resurrection, then the rest of it would fall to pieces. But today, after many years of research, after many years of looking into the resurrection, to the person and to the work of Christ, Lee Strobel today is saved. He is walking with the Lord. He is a leading writer and speaker in the field of apologetics. He has written a book called The Case for Christ, and in it, he promotes the work and the person of Jesus Christ. He couldn't disprove the resurrection. There was full proof that Christ had truly risen from the dead. So that's the challenge to examine. Come see the place where the Lord lay. He's not there anymore. He is alive. There's a challenge also here to experience. Because that word there, see, in verse number six, where the angel says to come see the place where the Lord lay, that word in the Greek, it means also to know, It doesn't just mean to physically see with your own eyes, but it means to know and to experience the resurrection. And Paul sums up the life and the death of Christ very succinctly in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, the Apostle Paul says, "He was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification." Christ was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification. Believer, that is what Christ has accomplished for you this morning. That is what Christ has done on your behalf. He went to the cross to bear the offence that was yours. And he was raised again to prove that work that he had accomplished was accepted by the Father. Meaning that you, as a child of God, as a believer, you can now be accepted before the Father. What a joyous hope that is. What a great comfort it brings to our hearts. And if you're outside of Christ this morning, then let me address you personally, specifically. Christ has died and he has rose again. Why? So that you might be made free. So that you might be delivered from the wrath to come. He has accomplished a wonderful salvation, a wonderful redemption for you. So that you might have life more abundantly. He lives so that you might also live. So I ask the question, if you're outside of Christ, will you come to him today? Will you come to realize the one whom to know is life eternal? And come to know him in a personal and an experiential way. We see also that there is the command of this good news as well. Because the angel here, he gives a command. He tells the ladies to go. He says, go. It's the angelic imperative that we see here. They are to go. And we are living in a world today where everything is all go. Our business, our work, our lives, everything just seems so busy. But I wonder, are we living as though our Lord is risen and lives within our hearts? Are we going with that message? Are we sharing that message, those two simple words, he lives? Are we sharing them with those around us? We are not to linger near the tomb. It is good to come and to consider the tomb and how it is empty. But what does the angel tell them? He tells them to go. Go and tell others. Tell them that he lives. That he reigns. And we see that there is also... pardon me. We see that there is also a command to deliver. Because he tells them to go quickly and tell. The word quickly there, it means without delay. It means that these women were commanded to go with an urgency to spread the news that Christ was living. That he is no longer dead, that he is alive. And the message of the tomb, it is still the same message that we need today. We are to come, we are to see, we are to go quickly, and we are to tell. And I wonder, dear Christian, in this morning, is that your life's work? That wee children's chorus, telling others, my life's work is telling others. Is that your life's work today? You've come to the tomb, and as we have read it here in Matthew 28, you see that Christ is risen. And now, will you go and will you tell others that he is no longer dead? He is no longer in the tomb, but he is alive forevermore. And why is it that we have this urgent message? What is it that makes this message to go and tell others that Christ is living? What is it that makes it such an urgent message for us today? Well, it is because people are dying in their sin. Thousands die daily without knowing the risen Lord. It is imperative, it is urgent that we reach them with the gospel. It is urgent that they know that their lives can also be made fully alive in Christ. Not only because people are dying, but also because people are deceived this day. Many are deceived and worship gods that do not exist, worship gods that they have made up with their own imagination. Many are deceived today. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, it tells us, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. People are not only dying, but people today are deceived. They're told a false gospel. They're told, come to Christ, and all your problems disappear. Come to Christ, he'll make you rich. Come to Christ, and everything will be fine. It's not exactly true. The Christian life has its difficulties. The Christian life has its hardships, yet we have the promises of Christ that he will be with us, that he will sustain us, that he will give us grace each and every day. Everybody and every deceased leader and founder of every major religion in this world is in a tomb somewhere. But you can go to Israel. You can go to Jerusalem. You can see the empty tomb. And many of you in this congregation, I'm sure, have been to Israel. You have seen that Christ's body is no longer there. There's a song that my dad and I like to listen to in the car if we're ever travelling anywhere. And it says, no bones about it, Jesus isn't there. The tomb in which his body lay is empty and bare. There'll never be an artifact, not even a care. Because there's no bones about it. The Lord Jesus Christ is no longer in the tomb. He lives today, and it is our duty to take that news to a world that is dying, to a world that is deceived, but also to people who are despondent. Because the angel here tells Mary to go quickly and tell the disciples. He was to go quickly and tell the disciples of the Lord. The disciples were despondent after hearing the news of Christ's crucifixion. Their Messiah, the one whom they had trusted to bring them out of bondage, had died. And it was now the third day. Where was he? These women were to come and bring that wonderful message to the disciples that he was alive, that he had fulfilled the words that he had spoken, that he would raise the temple again in 3 days. The gospel is a message that brings hope to all who hear it and all who receive it by faith. And I wonder, is our life's work telling those around us, telling people that are dying, telling people that are deceived, and telling people who are despondent that Jesus Christ is alive today, and that today he lives forevermore. He lives in the power of an endless life. That is the command in this good news, that we are to come, we are to see, we are to go, and we are to tell. Is that your life's work? Telling others that Christ is alive today. But lastly, we come to consider the confidence of this good news. The confidence of this good news. Because those who will hear the angel's invitation, those who will come to see that the tomb is empty, who will go and tell that Christ is risen, we have wonderful promises that have been given to us. Because it tells us here that the Lord would precede them. There in verse number 7, he says there, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. He goeth before you. Who is the he? It is Christ. Christ will light the way. He goes before us. We can spread the news of the risen Lord because Christ precedes us. Because he walks before us. Because he guides us. Because he instructs us day to day. He is with us no matter what circumstance we are in. The very last words of Christ to his disciples here on this earth, they record it for us at the end of this chapter in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. What does Christ say here? He tells them, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded thee. And here is the promise of Christ. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We have the promise that Christ will precede us, that he will always be with us. And also because the Lord presents himself with them. It says there, in this verse, there shall ye see him. There shall ye see him in Jerusalem. And as they ran to spread the news, I'm sure they were longing to see their risen Saviour once again. In verse 9, it wasn't long until they got to see his face. They got to see the face of him who died for them. They got to see the nail-scarred hands of the one who was crucified for them. They got to see the risen Lord Jesus. And one day, believer, dear child of God, if you're in this morning, one day you will have the very same privilege. You will see the face of Christ. You will see the face of the one whom your soul loves. You will see him in heaven. We serve him with gladness and joy today because we know that one day we will be with him in glory. One day we will see his face. And we one day will be resurrected because he was resurrected. Because we are united with Christ. And therefore, if you are saved in building this morning, if you are in Christ, if you love the Lord, if you trust the Lord as your Savior, ask yourself this question. Am I living like I believe in the resurrection? Does my life bear constant testimony to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive? How long has it been since you thanked him for being alive in heaven for you? Because today, as I'm sure we will sing at some point today, we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today, but he's not only there, he also lives within us. He lives forevermore to plead for us in heaven and to give us grace each and every day to sustain us. This is the good news from a heavenly source. The angel comes to the woman. He tells them to fear not. The same message is given to us today. Fear not. Why? This Jesus is risen from the dead. And what are we to do now with this information? We're to come and see, and we're to go and tell. I pray that it will be our life's work to make much of our resurrected Savior, to make much of the Christ who died for us and who rose again for us. Let's close in prayer. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you that the tomb is empty, and the Lord our Savior is no longer there, that today he lives in heaven for us, that he pleads for us, and that, Lord, he today is our risen Christ. Lord, may we ever rejoice in this fact. May we ever joy in the God of our salvation. And may we ever make it our business to proclaim the name of the risen Lord Jesus. I pray that that would be our life's work, would be to tell others that Christ is risen and to give that angelic message that he is not here, for he is risen. Lord, I pray, give us the strength, give us the grace to be in the enjoyment of that today, to be in the enjoyment of a risen Savior, to know that our God is risen from the dead, and that because he lives, we too also shall one day live with him forever. Lord, we pray, write your word upon our hearts and speak to us now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close with a final hymn, the hymn 109. Hark, the voice of love and mercy sounds aloud from Calvary. We're going to sing it to the tune of Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. The hymn 109, and we'll stand while we sing this hymn together. Let's rise to sing.
It is finished.
standing for prayer. Our God and our Father, Lord, I do pray that you would help us to live in the light of these truths. It is finished. He is risen. Lord, I pray that you would write these words upon our heart and may we ever rejoice in them. Lord, may we glorify your name through them for the rest of this day. And Lord, we do pray, take us home in safety, watch over us on the roads. And we do pray that this evening, as the gospel would go forth, that Lord, you would draw men and women unto yourself. Lord, I pray, bless us today and speak to our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.